Well, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here once again. Thank Him for the meeting that we've had. It's surely been a blessing to me. I've been stirred right down to the depths of the foundation that I have in Christ Jesus. Recently, I got a compliment. I want you to pray for me that the Lord will bless now and help us. I got a compliment. Maybe it's not a compliment. Let me tell you what it is, and you can put a title to it. But I was teaching Bible study, and about the middle of the Bible study, a sister stopped me, and she said, "Brother Rich?" And I said, "Yes." And I thought she was going to comment on the Bible study. She said, "We've been talking, and we believe that you enjoy your salvation." Kind of shocked me. And I said, "Yes. Yes, I do." Do you enjoy your salvation?
Yes.
Oh, my. Brother Humphrey told me he wouldn't take $1 million for it. He wouldn't take all the world has to offer for it. Well, nobody's offered anything to me for my salvation, but I can't think of anything that I need. Because everything that I need and everything that I want, I've already got it. It's all in the Lord. Oh, that's a good place to be. I didn't used to be there, but I'm there now. And I'm thankful for it. Choices. Choices that we make. Choices that bring us to these places in our life. I believe that God has given every man the power of choice. I believe the Bible backs that up. Every one of us have been given power by God to choose what we're going to do. Whether we're going to live for Him or not. We're going to go out into the world, try to make our fame and our fortune. But what God didn't give us was the power to alter the consequences of the choices that we make. I'd like to read some real familiar scriptures here, a story of two different men who made choices. Turn with me, please, to Acts the 8th chapter. Desire your prayers this day. And I'd like to begin at about the 5th verse. This was during the time of, let's go to the 3rd verse. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Saints had to run for their very lives, for the lives of their family. This Saul was committing them to prison. Go right into their houses. Had the authority to take them right out, drag them out, and have them taken to prison. Many were condemned, even to death. It's a sad time for the church, but it also was a growing time for the church. Because people began to scatter and go into different lands, different cities, countries, and the Word of God began to grow. It was a great time for the church also. 5th verse. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." That would have been something, would it not? "For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. The people looked upon these things that Philip was able to do by the power of God." It made an impression. And it said the people with one accord gave heed. They gave heed. They listened. They took note. They gave heed. They stopped for just a moment and said, "What is this?" And they took heed to it. 8th verse. And there was great joy in that city. You know, there's joy in serving the Lord.
Amen.
There's joy in being where the Spirit is moving and working. And to see it and to be part of it. How wonderful that is. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed us to come to this meeting. I've been part of the moving of the Spirit. I felt it. And I've seen it. I've seen Him take men and put them behind this pulpit. Sisters too, women too. And use them to bring forth the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you put a price on that? Oh my. Would you take $1 million for it? No, this is far greater because this is the key to get into heaven. We're talking eternal life. Money can't buy that, dear ones. It's way too valuable for money. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Today we live in a time where people just don't believe in sorcery much anymore, unless they're into it. But the world has covered up the devil. He's been able to hide behind a lot of things. I was at my daughter's here, a couple years ago, I believe it was, not saved, and we were visiting there, and her children were watching the television, and cartoons came on, and I realized that all it was witchcraft. That's what it was. They talk about possessing one another, and taking over through the Spirit, taking over the possession of bodies. And this is what was called cartoons, entertainment for little children. So I pulled my daughter aside. I said, honey, I said, that what the children are watching. I said, that's not good. That's witchcraft. Oh, she said, Dad, you see a devil behind every bush. I said, yeah, that's just about true. He's hiding there. And the world is covering him up. We have people that are sick. They're not sick, they're possessed. But the world can't deliver them. They'll just give them a drug or something to make them a little worse. But dear ones, you and I, through the power of God, just like Philip, can deliver those that are possessed. How do I know? I've seen it done. God has given us the authority and the power, just like Philip, to deliver. Do we use it? May the Lord help us. But this man Simon was using witchcraft and sorceries and gave himself out to be some great one, to whom they all gave heed. Now before Philip came, they were giving this heed to Simon. Because he possessed these powers. Don't you think for one minute that the devil hasn't got power? Because he does. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest. From those that were down there, just the lowest of society, to the very rulers, gave heed to this man. Saying, this man is the great power of God. How terrible that the devil was able to transform himself to a place that people thought that those works were the works of God. And to him they had regard. Regard. They held him in high esteem. They regarded him as something very special. They thought he was the great power of God. Because that of a long time he bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Something new had come to town. Something new would come to this city. Something that they'd never seen before. Something that the devil could not do. This Simon didn't have this power that Philip was manifesting. You see, what Simon had couldn't change a man's heart. It might be able to put fear on him. Might be able to hold him at bay. But it couldn't do nothing to change his mind or his heart. It didn't do anything for his life. But what Philip offered, oh, it was wonderful. And they looked upon these signs and wonders. These healings. This power over a devil. Simon had no power over those unclean spirits. But Philip did. This was something brand new. And it had come to the city. And they all took heed. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed. There was something took place. There was a change. A justified experience came. And now they were qualified to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says both men and women. This isn't just a man's religion. There's Christian churches, call themselves Christian churches today, right here in these states, that say this religion is for men. I've been in one of those. I went to a church of Christ, and the women just sat there and never uttered a word. The men did all the teaching, the preaching, the talking, the testifying, the praying. The women were kind of just second-class citizens in that church. Oh, what a shame. How did they get there? Have they been bewitched? Yes, they have. To take the scriptures and turn them to a point where women are held in silence. And yet it says right here that they were baptized, both men and women. There seems to be no distinction here in this kingdom that Philip preached. Then Simon himself believed. Now isn't that something? This man of the devil, who used sorceries to bewitch, now he believed. But what did he believe? Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Dear ones, that's what he believed. What he saw with his eyes, that's what he believed. But had a change taken place? I think not. He went ahead and went through the steps. Oh, I believed and I want to be baptized. Got in line with the rest and they took him and they baptized him. You see, we don't baptize except on your profession of your faith with God. When you were baptized in that minister, according to the profession of your faith, they might say, are you saved? Yes. Well, then we'll baptize you according to your profession. Oh, Simon believed. Yes, he did. He believed in those miracles in which he looked upon. And he wondered, beholding them. What is this? This new thing. This power that I don't have and I don't possess. I want some of that. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Well, now here's a little thought. I thought Peter and John were the leaders of the church. And yet they're being sent.
Yeah.
Who's the leader, dear ones? Christ is our leader. The Holy Spirit is our guide. And Peter and John submitted themselves to the will of the Spirit.
Amen.
And they were sent by the other apostles to go and bring the word more fully and more completely to the Samaritans. How wonderful that is. Submitted themselves. We read Peter and hear about all his exploits, so to speak, and we think, oh, what a great man. And John too. And yet they submitted themselves to the elders. Lord, help us. Who then, they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some people don't believe in the second work of grace. Well, when I read these scriptures, I've got to beg to differ with them. These were saved. They got saved, got baptized. Yet they hadn't got the Holy Ghost, hadn't heard of it, didn't know yet about it. So Peter and John came down and began to preach and teach. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then lay they hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is not going to come into an unclean vessel. So they know that, I know by these scriptures that they got that salvation that they desired, that their soul hungered for, because now they had received the Holy Ghost. Then when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered him money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He wanted this thing that he saw and now believed, but he wanted to use it for his own glory. He wanted to consume it upon his own lust, because he still wanted to be that great one. He still wanted to have their regard. He wanted them to take heed to those things he seen, because a greater power than he had now come to town. I want this too. I'll pay you for it. That shows where his heart was at. Oh, he believed, but not unto the saving of his soul. His mind was still on the world and what he could gain and what he could have. Have you ever heard the saying, when you get saved, you give up the bad stuff?
That's right.
Oh, you heard that? Sure. You get saved, you give up the bad stuff. But when you get sanctified, what do you give up? You give up the good stuff. All those things that you thought were good, that propelled you, and those little things that you thought that you were given from birth, that I'll just hold on to this wisdom, and I'll hold on to this ability to talk, and no, give it up. Because if it ain't sanctified, it's not of any value. Simon wanted to hold on to all those things. He wanted to add to it. Wasn't going to work. Now, dear ones, the next scriptures, we're going to talk a little bit about discernment. We as the children of God need discernment. Need to be able to look and understand and feel what the Lord and how He's working and dealing. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you just how the devil hides. He's got the Christian world saying, oh, don't judge lest you be judged. So you can't judge me, and you can't judge them. You can't judge. You don't have the right. Oh, yes, we do. By the leadings of the Spirit, we have the right. Is this of God or is it not? I've heard the saints say, well, we may not be judges, but we're fruit inspectors. That's all right. I'll be a fruit inspector. But it's going to take discernment. This is what Peter, through the Spirit, was manifesting right here. He looked upon this situation and said, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart..." Look right down into his heart. How? Because the Holy Ghost had given him discernment to see into that man's heart. "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God..." Here we go right back to where he should have been in the very beginning. He should have repented and said, "All that I have done has been wrong, and I want to start over. I want a new life. I want to put those things aside." Peter brought him all the way back to the beginning and said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness." This thing was wicked. There was, if we're not careful, we'll harbor wickedness in our hearts and in our minds, and think that it's a good thing. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps, how great of sin was this when Peter says, "Repent, and maybe, the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee." A serious thing. May the Lord help us. I am so grieved and burdened over what the world has become. Here not too long ago, I asked my daughter. Well, I asked a lot of people. We were sitting around a campfire, and we were talking, and there was professing Christian couples there and different ones. And I asked the question, I said, "How did we get from Cinderella to Harry Potter? How did we get there? How did we get from a very harmless story about a young girl's dream and a fairy godmother and a magic wand?" And that's witchcraft. Fairy godmother? This little creature having power like God? Witchcraft. How did we get from that? Because it hid. And people thought it was harmless. But you see, the devil just doesn't come all at once. He just comes in gradual. A little bit. Well, if I can get him just to believe this, I can just... And now we've gotten to a point where Harry Potter is so popular, you'll find it in most every American home. And it's out and out witchcraft. Dear ones, our friends, our neighbors, our family members have been desensitized. And they no longer see the danger and the damage that's being done. We of the saints of God better be ready. When people come to this altar from the world and want to be saved, you're going to deal with spirits. You're going to have to deal with spirits. And you better be ready for all kinds. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive..." How did he perceive this thing? "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Dear ones, he was a slave to sin. And Peter recognized it through the Spirit. He discerned it. "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." This man had bitterness in his heart. We need to realize just how dangerous bitterness is and what it can lead to and where it can take us. May the Lord help us. "And in the bond of iniquity." A slave being held captive. Being held captive to sin. Yet the opportunity was afforded him. He said, repent. Peter told him, repent. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Is Simon telling Peter to repent for him? It's not going to work. Too many today are depending on their mother's prayers. Too many are dependent on their father's prayers, their grandmother, their grandfather's prayer. Well, my great-granddad was a minister with the Church of God. That will not get you into heaven. You're going to have to get a hold of this thing for yourself. Here, Simon didn't want to humble himself and repent, but he would ask Peter to pray for him. Pray ye to the Lord for me. That none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Oh my. What all took place in that conversation? What all did Peter tell him? But we know by these scriptures that Simon did not repent. We don't know of any place in the Word of God where Simon ever repented and made it in. And they, when they had testified and preached the Word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the Gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Had Simon lost his window of opportunity? We heard a little bit about that, didn't we? A window of opportunity. How many times have I seen people allow the window of opportunity escape them and go by? I know of a family who came amongst us, believed and enjoyed and wanted to be here, and single mother raising children. The children said, Mom, we want to go. We want to be where the saints are. We want to live there. She didn't move. Today, none of her children are saved. One has a child out of wedlock. One's in jail. Window of opportunity. To give your soul and the souls of those you love an opportunity. Now, if she'd have moved and been with the saints and her children still decide to go off, she had done what she could do. May the Lord help us. As the doors open, as the window of opportunity comes, may the Lord help us. Here, Simon went away. Ask Peter to pray for him. After Peter told him, you need to repent and you need to pray. Do we take instruction? And when the elders come to us and talk to us and tell us what we need, do we listen? Do we humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord. It's come from your elders, those that have the care of my soul, those that rule over. Lord, I'm going to submit myself to this. There's protection in that. Do you know that? There's protection in that. We've talked about a man who made a choice. And as far as we know, he never made it. He never made it into the kingdom. Though he's seen the signs and the wonders, the opportunity was afforded to him, and he chose. He chose, no, I'll not go this way. 27th verse. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now I want to think about this man here for just a minute. He was a man of Ethiopia. What color was his skin? Never thought? Chances are it was black, was it not? Ethiopia was a black nation. Now he could have been a slave and could have been brought in there, and they found that he was so intelligent they can't. I don't know. But chances are he was black. There's no separation in the church of God. I was walking through the dining hall and I was looking at the pictures of the camp meetings. I seen the whites and the blacks all intermixed all through the Lord. Praise God. That's the way it ought to be. God is no respecter of person. I don't want my black brother sitting in the back, and I don't want him sitting on the left while I sit on the right. I want him to sit right next to me. And I hope he feels the same way about me. He better get up to this altar. I don't see color when I see the saints. There is none. I see my brother. I see my sister. Lord help us. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem for to worship.
Praise
the Lord. He had a belief in the Mosaic law. Why else would he have come to Jerusalem to worship?
Seeking
God, the God of his fathers. This man was probably rich. I would have to say, having the entire treasury of the queen at his disposal, he probably monetarily had want for nothing.
Honest faithful man.
That's what it takes. God's got rich saints too.
Yes. Lord God.
No respecter of persons. There's no difference in the children of God. Young, old, black, white, rich, poor. There is no difference. Let me add some other colors in there. Yellow and brown and I don't know how many colors there are. I've been told there's only really three races of people in the world. The Mongolian, which is where your Indians and your Asians and your the Orientals. White, the Caucasian, and the black. If there's any other, I know not of them. Did I ever tell you my dad's theory? I'm a repeater, I'll tell it again. I was just a little boy, and I asked my dad, I said, Dad, where did these other people come from? If we all came from Adam and Eve, how come we're not all the same color? Speak the same language. I was just a little boy. I didn't know. He said, son, I've got a theory. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, it's just a theory. It's my theory. But this is what I believe. You remember that story that you learned in Sunday school about the Tower of Babel? I said, yeah. And how they were trying to be like gods and build that temple, and how God came down and he scattered them. He confused their languages. I said, yeah. He said he confused their colors at the same time. Dad, that's a good theory. I like it. Don't know if it's true, but why couldn't it be? The dark-skinned people went to the south where it was hot. That was a protection for them. They don't burn like I do. And he had the Asians with their slanted eyes to protect them against the cold and the wind. They went where it was cold and windy. And a sissy white stayed in the middle where the weather was nicer. Well, really, I'm not white. I'm kind of all mixed up. My family gets together and it looks like the gathering of the United Nations. Then I'm thankful. I just claim them all. I claim all the races. You're all mine. Well, you're God's, and I'm His son. And if you're a son or daughter, you're my brother or sister. That's good enough for me. Thank the Lord. All right, let's go on. 28. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, you know, to be led of the Spirit. You want to be led of the Spirit? You got to move up, get close. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Who was this man running along next to my chariot? Yet he was wheeling. This rich man, riding in his own private chariot, had a driver. Didn't say that he stopped the chariot. He commanded the chariot to be stopped. Kind of the limousine of his day, and he had a driver, a chauffeur. This man been out in the desert, named Philip, dirty, scrungy, I don't know. But he looked at him and invited him up.
Yeah.
If this man's got something I want, he's welcome here. No respecter of persons. When I was in Wichita, I heard a story. And this was supposed to be a true story that happened while we were there. Don't know if it is, but this is the way it was told us. One of the churches in town was having a big meeting, and it was one of the big churches. And they invited this very esteemed minister to come hold services for him. So the opening night of the meeting, it was supposed to start at 7. The people begin to come and they open up the doors and there was a bum sitting on the steps that were going up to the chapel. And he was dirty and he was scrungy. And they walked around him. Well, they went on in and they began to have service. And when it came time for the word and the minister began to come to the pulpit, and guess who it was? It was that bum. He began to take off those old scrungy clothes and he let them fall as he was coming to the pulpit. And he looked out at that congregation. And I don't think he had to say a word. Not one of them invited him to come to church. Not one of them shook his hand. Not one of them offered him any help. That was quite a sermon without saying a word. God is no respecter of persons. Every man has a soul, and God loves every man. When I say man, I mean women, children. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. You ever think about this? In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. It means they didn't give him a fair trial. There was no judgment. There was no righteous judgment. They gave him a mock trial. His humiliation went beyond all that they had done. Now there wasn't even judgment. Their laws said differently, yet they just broke their laws. Their hatred for this man of God was so great. How did that happen? Because the devil stirred them up. And that's exactly what we've got going on today. The Christian religion, as you and I know it, is under attack. We might as well face it. They're passing laws all the time. I was listening to the radio, and they said the ministers of the United States are busy watching this new bill that's about to go through Congress and be voted on. And it had to do with saying anything negative or derogatory about the alternate lifestyle. Homosexuality. To a point, if you preach the Word of God where it says, if a man sleepeth with a man like he sleepeth with a woman, it's abomination in the eyes of God. Could we be looking at jail time? Could we be looking at monetary fines? Yes, we can. But that's what this United States has come to.
Yeah.
Canada has already passed a like law. And some cities like San Francisco, I'm being told, have passed like laws. But now they're talking about federal. Dear ones, it's time for us to stand up and cry out to preach the truth. I read a book by Willison Brown. He said in that book, he said, you want to be a demand. You want to be a preacher that people want to listen to? Then you've got to preach the truth because that's what their hearts desire. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to be pampered and pampered. They don't want to be told about Jesus, love, 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 and no judgment. It's got to be balanced. We've got to have it all. In His humiliation, His judgment was taken away. And who shall declare His generation? Who's going to declare this gospel? When He looked around, all men had fled. He was standing there alone. And why did they flee? They fled for their lives. They were afraid.
Yes.
Well, the Holy Ghost had not yet been given to them when they fled from Him. But when the Holy Ghost came, they were given power. That they never ran again, did they? Most all of them died a martyr's death. Willing to give their life's blood for the gospel that they loved. Wouldn't take $1 million, $1 billion to trade for this salvation experience. For His life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, yes. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Praise the Lord.
Look at the difference. What is there anything that would hinder me? Is there anything that would stand in the way of me getting this experience? A little different than Simon. If there's anything that would hinder me, tell me what it is because I want this thing. My soul desires it. Do you know that you have a soul?
Amen. Yeah.
We're made up of spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
Each one of those things can be an individual, but they're all together.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you, your soul cries out to God.
Right.
Unsaved. The souls of men cry out to God. There's a hungering and longing that your soul wants, and it'll never be satisfied until God takes His proper place in your heart.
It's the Lord.
See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. All now.
All.
Not just the miracles.
Yeah.
Huh? But everything about you, everything that you have within you, do you believe it all?
Praise the Lord.
This thing's going to change your life if you believe it all. It's going to make you a different person if you believe it all.
Yeah.
Now, Philip, explain these scriptures.
Yeah.
Do you think that's all he did? I wonder how many things he said to him. Huh? Did he talk to him about the plan of salvation? Did he talk to him about a sanctified experience? I wish I could have been. I wish I'd have been that driver. And I'd have been. I'd have been. You see, this was brand new, this gospel of Jesus Christ. But when you hear it, it rings true with the Word, it rings true with the Spirit, and your heart gravitates to it and wants it so much. This is where the eunuch was. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Driver, stop this thing. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now I can't explain this one. I don't know exactly what happened here. Maybe when I get to heaven, I'll ask Phil, hey, what happened? Or maybe the eunuch. Did he just disappear?
He saw him no more. He disappeared.
I don't know. Maybe the Spirit just had him walk away. But what I do know is the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. That I know. I'll tell you what. Salvation make you happy. It'll make you rejoice.
Praise the Lord.
Two different men.
Yes.
Two different choices.
Two different men.
One was lost, and one was saved. Dear ones, let's be part of that group that's saved. Let's make the right choices. You pray for me.
Thank you.